I have to tell you this morning, your pastor has not gone crazy. I know that I seem a little bit here and there and bouncing around today, but I'll tell you that I have I've really got a lot on my mind, and it's not bad stuff, it's good stuff. Yesterday, in attending a couple graduations, I saw some kids, and I got to tell you, my heart just really goes out to these young people. We've got some kids out there that are pretty good kids. By all means, they're great kids, but they don't know the Lord. And my thought always goes to, how will we reach these young people for the truth? Because the thing is, the truth's so important. You know, guys, I'm not trying to build a church of numbers. I'm not trying to build a church of money. A church that everyone looks at and says, oh, look at that church. I could care less. I want to reach people for Jesus because it's the kingdom that matters. It's their lives that matter. My mind this morning goes to a couple things. One, we sang a song, I Can Only Imagine, and that song always brings me back to a place. I don't know if many of you knew Pastor Phi. His daughter went to school with our kids. And he's just a little guy like me. He might have been a little wider, I think. But anyway, I loved him to death. He was the pastor at Fulton Creek for years and years. And he got bone cancer and didn't live very long after that. But I was thinking about him and how wonderful, outgoing of a guy he was, and always willing to preach the word at any time and any place. And I went to his viewing at the church, and as I was walking down the aisle, and he was, you know, in the front, obviously in his casket, and that song started playing, and I started thinking of him being before God, and I just broke down and wept. I couldn't stop. But think about it, we're all going to be at that place one day, and I pray that we can only imagine the beauty of it and not look at that day as a time of fear. And that's what I desire for all of you, and I desire so much for our young people. We started last week talking about we're going to be doing a series on the spiritual disciplines and the importance of those. And as I was looking into it and studying it more this week, and I began to realize more and more why it had such an impact on my life when I read it the first time. And I got to thinking, if I really dig into this thing, this could be a year study, not an 8 or 9 week study. Just there's so much to be shared and so much information. But it's important. When we discipline ourselves to learn and know God and to draw close to Him and to study His Word and know His Word, we grow deep. When we don't, we don't. I want to read a statement that a guy named V. Raymond Edmond wrote in a book on the spiritual disciplines. He said, "Ours is an undisciplined age." I think we'd agree. "The old disciplines are breaking down." Those old spiritual disciplines, they really are. You know, the things that, you know, we need to do this. I remember there was a time when, and I'll tell you what, my kids will tell you, I fell down in this area too when they were kids. Used to be a time when Christian families, every night, they sat down and had a devotion time with their kids. They read the Word of God, they talked about it, they prayed before everybody went to bed. Now that may seem really old school, but you know, why not? Why not? Why did we need to change that? But we did. So old disciplines are breaking down, that being one of them. Above all, the discipline of divine grace is looked at as legalism, or is entirely unknown to a generation that is largely illiterate in scriptures. And I have to agree with that. I'll never forget when I sat down with a lady one day, she came to talk to me. I'd known her for many years, and she'd been in church her entire life, been active in everything that you can imagine. I mean, just an integral part of the fabric of all the work that was done in that church. And she sat down to tell me she needed a Bible that would help her understand and have like a study Bible, because she didn't understand Scripture at all. See, it's very possible to be very active in church and never have that depth that God requires us to have. We need the rugged strength of Christian character that can only come from discipline. Discipline. I'm not talking about punishment discipline. I'm talking about disciplining ourselves and how important that is. You know, when I think about where we are today and the depth most people take in their study and knowing of the Lord. Do you ever drive down the road, and we can see this a lot up in the wetlands if you drive north of here. You can see after a rain or a wet season, a big, beautiful, looks like a lake, and it's just gorgeous. But the truth is, under the surface, that baby's only about 2 feet deep. And when the sun starts coming out and things start drying up, it just disappears, and there's nothing there. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, that's kind of how we are in our discipline of life and studying and knowing the Lord and trusting Him and growing and growing. If everything is surface that we know and we never understand the depths of His knowledge and His love for us and His grace and what He instills in us, then when things get tough, when it starts getting a dry period, we go through a drought in life, all the what looks like faith around us can just dry up, and there's nothing left there but powder and dirt. And that's when people fall away and say, you know what, I went to church, I did this, I did that, but it never really did anything for me. The problem is you did not allow God's grace to fill you and desire to grow deep. I don't know how far I'm going to get today. I don't think very far. I love this. Holiness is not an option for those who are children of God. Did you know that? Wow, what do you mean? Don't go there with me, Pastor. I don't want any of that holy stuff. I'll believe in Him. I'll believe what He gave me, and I'll accept that. But that holy stuff, that goes a little beyond me. Holiness is not just a suggestion. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1, if we could. It's so small that it just sneaks in there at the end of the New Testament. Verses 15 and 16. I'm going to begin with 13. I've got 13 highlighted in my Bible, so I'll start at 13. Therefore, get your minds ready for action, being self-disciplined, and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance, but as the one who called you is holy, you are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Wow. Guys, that's not an option. That's a commandment. That's a commandment. We've kind of messed up the word holy in our culture today. We think that it sometimes includes robes and total, like this aura around us. I want us to have an aura around us. You know what I want that to be? I want that to be an aura of love. And of kindness and of grace that has been given to us. But we've got to understand God and know that. We've got to know God and be part of that. I want you guys to grow deep in knowing our Lord. And if you grow deep in knowing our Lord, it will be seen clearly on the surface. It's not just a matter of facts. It's a matter of knowing who He is. Knowing the heart of God. Experiencing God in your life and seeing what he does. I see it all the time. Just amazing things happen. As you study more about God and know God, you will begin to understand and recognize things that you missed before that happen all around you all the time. See, I want to call you to an exciting time in your life, an exciting time when you can do this. In Matthew 11, 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." The same is true in this offer of discipleship. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." See, you have to decide that he's first. It's not going to change you. What, Pastor? You said we're supposed to have change. No, it's not going to change the you he designed. It's not going to change the desires. Some desires it will, of course. You know, desires that are misplaced or desires that become idolistic. But here's the point. You're still going to be you. Cody's still going to have those sweet pink cheeks. You're still going to be you. Everyone's going to recognize you. But you're going to be a better form of you. And that's the desire that we have. Discipline is the heart of discipleship. In 2 Timothy 1:7 it says, God, this verse is one, I hate to say I have a life verse because I have several that I like, but this one has always been at the top of my list. And it started when I was about 19 years old because I was really struggling with a lot of things. And I was concerned at that point about where I was in my head. And the verse says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Or you may read in the King James, it says, a sound mind. A sound mind has self-control. See, God's not, don't live in fear. God doesn't want you living in fear. He wants you to live in power and in love and in self-control and a sound mind. You know where you're going. You know what you're doing. You know when that day comes that something faces you and you face it, where normally in life you would say, I don't know what I'm going to do, and throw your hands up in panic. You don't do that anymore because you say, you know what? In God's direction, I need what I really know is what I really need to do is this. You ever know in Scripture how many times it says to let your yes be yes and your no be no? That's how that happens, is that you know. You know God, you're growing deep in his knowledge, and when something comes up, it's you don't have to be wishy-washy. You're not deciding, well, the world would accept me better if I did this, but no. You say, you know what, this is where God will direct me. God will begin to lead through your life and show you those things that will bring you so much joy and happiness. But that I love that verse. It just really gives me great, great confidence. Let's turn to Galatians 5, if we could. Galatians 5, 22. And I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. This is part of that sound line. This is part of that direction that he gives us. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law against any of those, is there? Why would we not want to do it? And you know what? If you read those over, again, it says, okay, the spirit of love, of joy. Don't you want to have joy and peace and patience? Oh, do we all need patience? And some of us could really use kindness sometimes. Goodness. Basically being good. Faith, strong faith, gentleness. Yeah, not harsh, not rough. Self-control. Boy, we can use those things. Let me ask you a question about those things. Do any of those things say that we need to be weird or boring or unhappy or drudgery? Huh? I don't think so. So why is it that when we think that we need to have holiness, that's what enters our mind, because that's what Satan wants to put there. He does not want us to have these wonderful virtues. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, we must follow the Spirit. We must not come conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Guys, it's a place of happiness and rest. But as we do, people may say, it's kind of like when you come home and you know that you have science homework every night for an hour. You're 20 years ahead and get a picture of your life, kind of like Scrooge did. Remember that? But you look ahead, and someone shows you this brilliant, brilliant scientist that has discovered so many amazing things, and it's just unbelievable cool to you, just to see the wonderful things they discovered and how people look up to them and how great it is and how it's helped society. And there's a million other things we could use the same example of. And you say, wow, that's really cool. And the Spirit says, yes, that's you. What you're doing is working towards that. That's you in 20 years. All of a sudden, you come back to doing that science homework every night, and man, you're saying, I need more? Come on, I got to get my science homework. That's where I'm headed. Folks, I want to tell you something. A wonderful life in Christ and knowing God and in being in the face of Jesus, that's where you're going. Now, it says that when we die, that we will be changed. And we don't know his mind now, but we will clearly know it then. So a lot of people would argue, they would say, well, Pastor, if that's going to happen, why don't I just put it on cruise control and wait till I die? Now that sounds silly, but that's what most people do. Because he calls us to do differently. Even though we will never be like him until that day, he calls us to desire to be and to work towards it until that day. Why? Why don't we just go on autopilot? I can tell you why. Because we are here for the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do we win people to Jesus Christ if we don't reflect Jesus Christ? And that's what it's all about. See, it was never about me. I can get the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the long-suffering, all those things. They're a bonus. They're an added bonus to desiring to do what he calls us to do and to be that walking, living example of who he is and what he does. Now, see, that to me is a challenge. That to me is a challenge. Can you imagine standing in heaven and seeing a multitude of people, and you begin to recognize, well, that's Billy from the pharmacy over there, and I knew that kid. I had him on my ball team. And on and on, and all of a sudden, the Lord says, you know what? Your example led them to me. Thank you. Well done, good and faithful servant. See, that's what you can see. The world makes it about us. The day, I want to say this, and you can write this down. The day that it stops being about you is the day you will begin to know joy. How about that? It's got to stop being about you. The first thing that, and I don't know how, I'll try to get through this. I think I can. The first part, if you'll look at your bulletin today, which I didn't. I was scolded for that, you remember? And I better get it out, so I do it right now, too. Today's message is Bible study and learning. First part of our spiritual disciplines. I know some of you are thinking, oh, good, he's going to get the boring one out of the way first. Bible study and learning. The first part I want to talk about is being a hearer of God's word. That's the easy one, isn't it? See, if you hear, you don't have to do anything. You're hearing it. The easiest of the disciplines related to the intake of God's word is simply to hear it. That's the easiest. Why consider this a discipline? Because if we don't discipline ourselves to hear God's word regularly, we may hear it only accidentally. Just when we feel like it, or never hear it at all. For most of us, disciplining ourselves to hear God's word means primarily developing a practice of attending some type of Bible study. So what are some avenues that we can hear the Lord, hear the word of God? Thank you, church, coming together. That's one of the very important reasons we come together, is to hear God's word in that setting. What are some others? Huh? Yeah, that was one of the ones I was going to mention. Yeah, absolutely. And you guys can all do this. Oh, you young people are going to think, man, are you crazy? That's boring. Let me tell you something. When you turn on and you listen to people that are giving a message on the radio, it's more of a talk message, I hope, not none of those crazy screamers or anything. But, you know, it's an opportunity to hear and to learn and think, oh, I needed that today. I know those of you that will turn the radio on in your car. I listen a lot to 89.1, and a lot of you that do that have told me, man, I heard just what I needed today. I was worried about this. I flipped the radio on, and, Abraham Hamilton or someone like that or was just talking about exactly what, well, you don't think the Lord had anything to do with why you turned on the radio when you did it? Of course he did. But that's just another way of hearing. What are some other ways of hearing? Bible studies? Talking to one another? Ladies' groups? Men's groups? Huh? How many times have we sat in something and heard exactly what we needed? You see, we've got to be in a place of hearing, don't we? And does Scripture back that up? Of course it does. Romans 10:17. Most of us know that passage, huh? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want faith? Hear it. It comes from the word of God. We have to hear it. We have to know it. Something else we have to do. We have to prepare to hear God's word. What? What do you mean prepare? I'll just turn the radio on, or I'll just walk in and sit in the church service and I'll pick up on something. See, the thing we have to understand is hearing God's word is very, very important. He says so. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God, we have to hear it. We have to apply it, right? What's the Bible say? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So you hear it and you do it, right? You take it with you. But here's the preparation part. Lord, I'm here today to hear your word. Prepare my heart. Take out the things that aren't necessary. Let me focus on you and your word and loving those around me. And open my heart to hearing and doing your word today. You see, we have to invite and include God. Not the Holy Spirit's not in us. I'm not saying that. He is. If you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you know that you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. What a blessing that is, to know you have that leading and guiding that only Christ can give. But you're inviting them at the moment as an action of your heart. Help me study, help me know, help me learn, help me grow. That is the hearing that we need to do. So why is that a discipline? That's the first part of the teaching discipline, is hearing. Okay, Pastor, what's so hard about that? Because we have to discipline ourselves to do it regularly, with intent, with purpose, on purpose? Because if we just take it here and there, it's like it said earlier, you know, that's that surface stuff. Most Christians today are a mile wide and an inch deep. I'd rather be 100 feet wide and about 10 miles deep, because that's where I'm going to know the Lord. And that's where my influence, you're going to be an influence anyway. You can't help it. You can lock yourself in a closet and you're still going to be an influence, because everyone's saying, boy, that guy's a nut. He's locked in his closet. You're influencing people anyway. You're going to be that influence. So do you want to be the mile wide influence that everybody knows and everybody sees, but it's so shallow, it's no one's being led to Christ through your example, The thing is, as we study the Lord and get deeper, we have an intent. We function our life with an intent, an intent-driven life. That is intent for people to see the love of Christ in us and people to come to know the Lord. So do you want to be that mile wide with no intent, or do you want to be deeper and everyone see that intent and understand that intent and love that intent? Huh? You want to know something? No one can have an honest bad word to say about you if you're walking and living and doing what Christ has called you to do. People may still lie about you, but most of the time they lie about you because they're jealous, or they want to reject what you're saying. But the truth is, people will look at you in the truth and say, wow, there's something different there. And see, I don't want them to look at Tim and say, wow, Tim's the greatest guy in the world. He's so great. I got to tell him how great he is. No, I want people to look at Tim and say, you know what? Wow, Tim's a great guy. There's just something different about him. And it's the Lord. Everybody knows he's a Christian, but he's not one of those preachy ones that doesn't do what he says. You see what I mean? Let them see us for who we are in Christ, and it'll bring multitudes to know him. But it starts with hearing. And then we take the hearing to the doing. Are we putting ourselves in position to hear? Are you coming to Bible study? Are you coming to Pizza with Pastor? We had 16 kids last week. Praise God for that. It can keep growing as far as I'm concerned. Just got to bring more people in to guide and direct and lead and teach. They get bored with me, you know. Wow. Putting them in that position. Bringing the kids to Team Kids for Christ. Coming to a Bible study. We're having a great time learning and growing and knowing in the Revelation study on Sunday night. For those of you that can't be there, we still got plenty of time. You can come if you haven't been there. It's great to know these things and understand them. Because most people, when you mention Revelation, you say, that's just weird, man. I can't go there. I can't figure it out. But we're given the opportunity to hear and figure it out a little bit. But there's so many doors that are open and available to you. Find someone that you like to listen to. And you know what? Always take what you listen to and pull it back to Scripture. When Scriptures are mentioned in the Bible and in a sermon, go back to those Scriptures and read them later. Underline them, talk about them, read them through, read before and read after. It will tell you what leads up to the Scripture, and then it'll tell you afterwards what, you know, you can't just pull a Scripture out and have it stand alone. Make sure you know what it means, and you understand that, right? We don't want it to be shallow. I'm going to stop there today. It's a little earlier than normal, but that's okay. I want you guys to take the time and think about hearing and what opportunity do you give yourself to hear the Word of God. It's important. You can't know it if you don't hear it. That's part of it. You've got to hear the Word of God. Find those people. Get in, tune your radio around. Find someone that you can is easy for you to listen to, even though maybe the content may be difficult. Not somebody that's screaming and throwing out a bunch of claims of this and that. I'll never forget one time. I was driving a semi, and it was in North Carolina. This was years ago. And I would tune into stations as I drive in different parts of the country and see what I could pick up. And I picked up this southern pastor, and he's yelling and telling his people, you know, if you decide you want a Cadillac next week and you pray and you lay that at the foot of the cross, if you don't come in here next week driving a new Cadillac, you know, you don't, your faith isn't strong enough. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. I wondered if I could have reached my arm through those radio waves and had him by the throat, I would have, because what bothered me about that was here's all those poor people sitting under this man, and he just told them their faith was weak and nothing, because there's not one of them that was going to pray for a Cadillac and drive it in the next week. Huh? You understand what I mean? Search for truth. Find truth. Young people, there's truth out there and it's meant for you. Old people, same thing. Middle-aged people, all of us. Some of us are all of them. That's crazy. We're young at heart, we're old in body, and some middle-aged people are still raising kids, so we're all over the place. Trust God. God will change your life. Read the things you're given to understand. Acts and facts. Hey, I picked up another good one this week. It was called Exposing Evolution. It's really neat, and they take the four major textbooks that schools are using today to teach evolution, and it point by point shows you to where those are refuted, and it's pretty cool. And obvious stuff, too. Very scientific book. Very good. But I love that kind of stuff. See, if I was somewhere and someone was telling me this stuff and that something wasn't true or was true, I think it would be an important enough of a matter to me that I'd want to dig and find the answer, right? Because, see, if I'm right, we're all going to stand before God one day. And we're going to spend eternity with Him, or we're not. But if they're right, we just die anyway. But what if I'm right? And I happen to know through our Lord, I am right. So I'm kind of saying maybe we need to look into this thing if we don't believe and search for ourselves. Ted, you got any of the case for Christ left? All right. We're down to one here if someone wants to read it. It's a great read. It's written by a reporter. But anyway, love you guys. Today's study, of course, was hearing the Word of God. I encourage you, put yourself in a position to hear the Word of God. You're turned into a radio at work or whatever, and you're listening to stuff that you're frustrated with. Turn off that negative news, for crying out loud. They drive me nuts. Even the ones that I agree with get my blood pressure worked up so much, I'm ready to fight people, not love people. But find something that you can listen to that is going to strengthen your faith and keep you in that place that you need to be. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for all you've given us. We thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for everyone here today. We ask you keep those safe that can't be here. Lord, keep our hearts where they need to be. Lord, let us be a place of comfort and love for everyone. Lord, be with those that are hurting this morning, and there are those hurting this morning in our congregation for whatever reason. Maybe they feel alone. Maybe they feel like, what's my next step? Or maybe they have a loved one or someone very close to them that they're just torn over. Lord, I just ask you to strengthen them, gird them up, let them keep their eyes on you, and let your influence through their life be like overflowing love to those around them. And let them win others through what they see in you and that life that they have, that life of love. In your name, amen.